This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's game day for the Edmonton Oilers, in action in about an hour from right now on Sportsnet against the Atlanta Thrashers. Early news this morning was Sheldon Surrey placed on waivers by the Oilers. It came from Nick Kiprios in a tweet, and then Bob McKenzie followed up with one of his own. And we have an update from Ribs, who did a little bit of research on the Hershey Bears hockey site blog, saying that a quote here from the Hershey Bears blog: at the same time, Sheldon Surrey did not make the trip to Rochester, is out with an upper body injury. No word exactly on that, but he won't play tonight for sure. So the plot thickens. Defensemen have great value. The price for him is about $675,000 in terms of cap hit this year, if my math works. And then next year, you're looking at $2.7 million. That, I think, is the nut for any team looking at picking up Sheldon Surrey. But a good guess, I think, would be the Oilers were just putting him out there, seeing if there's an opportunity for a team that's desperate. You know, for next year, they figure, well, we can bury that money or possibly buy him out. And that's probably what the Oilers will do this summer. Thrashers in action against the Oilers, a 1:30 on Sportsnet. Atlanta, they're looking good right now. They're losing a lot of one-goal games. 59 games into the season, they're 25, 24, and 10. They're tied for ninth. In the last 10 games, they're 2-6 and 2, and those six losses and the two OT losses, they really were in most of those games. They allow both Carolina and Buffalo to slip past them in the standings, though, and their 59 games are the most of any team in the Eastern Conference except for the Rangers. The big stories early in the year for the Thrashers were their terrific offseason deals that delivered a lot of Chicago Blackhawks, including Dustin Byfuglien, Andrew Ladd, Brent Sopel, and Ben Eager from the Hawks to the Thrashers, and Rick Dudley and his coach Craig Ramsey. He looked like Sam Pollock and Scotty Bowman from the early 70s. Early in the year, their goaltending was out of this world with an unsustainable save percentage, as it turns out. And injuries have also contributed to the current run. Includes a lot of one-goal losses. The hockey gods seem to be really pushing the Thrashers down the standings right now, whether that comes back this season or not. It looks like they have a nice nucleus anyway moving forward. Toby Enstrom and Byfuglien are the leading point getters, two defensemen at the top of their scoring list. Ladd is their only 20-goal scorer. Pavlich, the goalie, has a .920 save percentage despite some struggles recently. And the guy I always noticed is Evander Kane, outstanding young player. Well-coached hockey team. Ramsey is a Roger Nielsen disciple, so it'll be interesting to see how he matches up with Tom Rennie in terms of lines and defensive pairings tonight. The Oilers, on the other hand, are 58 games in, 18-32-8 on the year, and 30th overall. They have a massive 50-goal differential, and that's at evens plus and penalty kill as well. They've been very inconsistent. All of that washed away for Oilers fans this week, at least a little, with back-to-back performances of the highest caliber against Dallas and Montreal. The win against the Habs, talked to Jim Hissen in the last segment about how sweet it is, because the Oilers delivered a great performance in a Rexall house that is divided. When the Habs are here and the Leafs are here, there's a lot of Oilers fans, obviously, but those two original six teams have a tremendous number of fans in the Edmonton area, and they all seem to get tickets. I don't know how that works, but it was definitely a highlight for Oilers fans this season. I would rate that game with the first game against Calgary, the Dubnyk shutout, and maybe the December 4th game where Hall scored against St. Louis in overtime, when that was when McDonald concussed himself and Horkov got him the puck. It was a really, really good game. Trades are surrounding the Oilers trade talk anyway, with Penner and Hemsky mentioned as possible exits. Those two are tied for the team lead in points, and Penner is the club's only 20-goal scorer. The guy we always notice, well, there's a lot of them. There's Hemsky, Taylor Hall. Jordan Eberle is sick. He's really good. And the kid Pajarvi, very impressive as well. Definitely team in build mode, but the last two performances have given us all hope, and we've forgotten about that terrible run that they had. You have to be fickle if you're going to be a fan of the Edmonton Oilers. Our web address, you can just email us at nationradio@team1260.com or call us at 426-TEAM. That's 426-8326. We are Nation Radio, Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. A couple of emails to pass along here. And this is from Michael Nagoyan. He said, at lowtide.blogspot, you focused on the Atlanta team and what they've done in the past with their draft picks. He mentions Heatley, Kovalchuk, and Coburn. Do you feel they are the Oilers' best option as trading partners, and why? And if they go for Bogosian, who would you trade at the draft? Well, I think they are one of the options. The Oilers right now, in terms of long-term need, have defensive problems. They need a big centerman, I think, and there's some question about the goaltending moving forward. So if you're looking at a kid like Zach Bogosian, you really are going to have to give up something very good and probably something young I would think, younger than, say, Hemsky. So a Sam Gagne might be in the mix, and I don't know, I'm not an expert in trades, but I would think there'd be draft picks back and forth. And the one thing that I would say is that the great thing about being an NHL fan is we saw last night, late last night, or when we got up this morning, that these trades can be made. And maybe this is a period where there's a flood of trades that are possible and will be made. And you know what? If one of those trades happens with the Edmonton Oilers, Steve Tambolini has to be right. But I think if you're going to trade for Zach Bogosian, you've got a chance to be right. Anyway, that's how I feel. Here's one from Jared Perot. He said, "Hey, Low Tide, great blogs. Been a fan for a while now, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, with all these deals going down, including the Eric Johnson one, what does that do to the value of a Zach Bogosian? Is there any chance of the Oil being able to find a young, talented blue liner without giving up the three rookies?" I think there is. I think that the Oilers probably will hold on to Hall, Pajärvi, and Eberle, as well as the lottery pick that's coming up, because it could be Larson, or it could be Couturier, it could be that kid Landeskog as well. But I do believe at some point in time the Oilers are going to have to give up something, either from the Penner-Hemsky tree or that mid-level group, which would include Sam Gagne, Andrew Cogliano, who might have a little bit lesser value than Gagne, but someone from that group. As far as the draft is concerned, I think it's one of those years where we have to be really careful as fans. It seems like there's one from every, there's a defenseman available, there's a great gritty winger available in Landeskog, a skill center, and then possibly an elite two-line center, if that makes any sense, in Couturier. But Stu Magnificent Bastard McGregor has really done a good job with this team, and I think, personally, that in Stu we trust. The guy has really delivered. 2008, 2009, and 2010, he picked up Eberle and Pajärvi, and then Hall in 2010, and did an outstanding job. So the question for me in terms of the Oilers isn't so much the draft, it's at the trade deadline and this summer, what Steve Tambolini is going to get done. And my big concern, honestly, right now, is if they do trade Hemsky and Penner, what are they going to get in return? Are they going to get actual NHL players? Or there was a rumor going around last night that Burke was offering a couple of picks for Penner, those two first-rounders, which I think could put the Oilers back. They don't have enough actual players on the roster right now, I think, to make that kind of a trade, just my opinion. This is Team 1260 Edmonton Sports Radio. We are Nation Radio. Nation Radio, the team1260.com if you want to email us. The big news today, Sheldon Surrey on waivers. And that came from Nick Kyprios early and Bob McKenzie later on. The cap hit this year would be $675,000 and then $2.7 million next year for any team picking him up. And I believe they have the entire weekend because of the long weekend. I think until Monday, Monday at noon, a team would have a chance to look at that because it's on the weekend. Matt, would you trade, if you're the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers and you have a chance to trade for a big stud like Zach Bogosian, would you trade a Sam Gagne? Is that something you would, you know, think, oh, hey, you know, I might make that move?
That's a tough one. I like Sam Gagne. I like the way he plays. But when you make a trade, sometimes you have to give up something you like. And well, not sometimes, most of the time. So I would, personally.
Well, I think, you know, the thing that you and I sitting in a radio control booth don't know is how many draft picks have to go back and forth and who exactly would have to go, you know, to make up the trade on either side. But Bogosian is a number 3 overall pick in a pretty good draft year. Gagne was number 6, I believe, in what is turning out to be a good draft year, not a great one. So the Oilers might have to add something to that deal, but it's something to consider. And believe me, I'm a big time Sam Gagne fan as well. I think he's a really good young player and he's improving slowly, but he's improving in all aspects of the game.
But to be successful, again, you have to build from the back end forward.
Yeah.
And so bringing a guy like Bogosian, I think, would be very nice.
Well, and he's also so young, right? He's 20 years old. You could have him for a long time. And
defensemen take time to develop longer than forwards.
And if Ottawa ends up winning the lottery, I think there's a chance they'll take Larson, the big Swedish defenseman, because they have a few of them now. Pick up one more and you've got yourself a heck of a back end there for the Ottawa Senators. Lots of trades yesterday. I don't know if you were following exactly what went on, especially, I mean, you'd have to have stayed up very late last night. But there were 6 trades made yesterday. I'm going to run down them and just maybe pass along some information that you might not know about some of these deals. Colorado acquired Brian Elliott from Ottawa for Craig Anderson. The Avs, I guess, had no interest in keeping Anderson around. They get a really inexpensive option in Elliott. Other than that, it looks like a really blah trade. I was listening last night, and Ottawa apparently is going to let Anderson have a few starts down the stretch and see if there's an interest there in re-signing him. But I think that's something they could have done in the summertime, and it was a peculiar trade. The next one was also a little bit questionable from my point of view. San Jose acquiring Ian White from Carolina for a 2012 second-round pick. A couple of things about this trade. I don't think San Jose gave up that much when you consider that that pick is probably going to be in the 50s when it comes down to it. San Jose is a good team. Also, the Hurricanes wanted a pick in 2012. That's what I'd heard. And that might be a tell in terms of what NHL teams think of the quality of this year's draft after, say, the top 15 or 20, or maybe even at the end of the first round. So it's a little bit of a tell. I know that this kind of a trade was made a lot in 2002 at the trade deadline, and that was the feeling about that draft, with 2002 being not maybe as strong as the following year, which was 2003. Tampa Bay made a big deal. They acquired Eric Brewer from St. Louis for Brock Bukaboom and a third-round pick in 2011. You know that Brewer hadn't been in the black as a defenseman, like in terms of plus-minus, since 2000, 2001, when Mac Tee was the co-chair. That was Mac Tee's first year. He's healthy, and he can help a defense. He can close a gap quickly. Bukaboom is a hitter, and he can skate, and that combination added to his size. He's 6'2 and about 200 pounds now, make him an attractive prospect, I think, for St. Louis. I suspect he's from that Matt Green tree, the guy who's maybe not an offensive player, but he's big and has some speed. I haven't seen a play, though. The pick is another bullet. It's a third rounder in 2011, and I think Yzerman did really well. I think Steve Yzerman has had a really good year as a general manager. Some of the things have fallen into his lap, but one of the big trades this year that people haven't really talked about was the Dwayne Rolison pickup, and that's really helped turn it around for Tampa Bay, and they were a good team before it happened, at least offensively. Atlanta acquired Blake Wheeler and Mark Stewart from Boston for Rich Peverly and Boris Vlahovic, and we're going to be talking to Chris Villemore in a little while about this trade. Wheeler gives the Thrashers more size. Stewart is an NHL defenseman. I was listening yesterday. I think it was Elliot Friedman who mentioned to Bob Stauffer that Stewart was a player that Rick Dudley, the GM in Atlanta, really wanted badly. So, and had been trying to get for a long time. So that's a very valuable item this time of year, an NHL defenseman. Thrashers win the trade, and if they can sign Stewart, I think they win it by a good margin. Boston made the big deal, we thought, early in the day. Thomas Cabrelle from Toronto for Joe Colburn, Boston's first-round pick in 2011, and a conditional second-round pick in 2012. I think Boston got a really good player here. Thomas Cabrelle is outstanding. We get overwhelmed by Toronto Maple Leafs broadcasts, and maybe we'll look at Thomas Cabrelle and overlook how good he is, but the guy's outstanding. They gave up less than what you might think at first blush because Colborne has struggled in the AHL. He hasn't stalled, but he really hasn't been as good as you'd want him to be as a rookie pro. There's still time, but Colborne is not the kind of guy that you go all out to get. And then the first round pick is likely to be 25 to 30. Burke did okay, but I believe he could have gotten more a year ago. Actually, that trade in spirit reminds me a lot of the Ryan Smith trade that Oilers fans get so upset about all of the time, when they got a 15th overall pick and Ryan O'Mara along with Robert Nielsen. And finally, the big trade, St. Louis acquiring Chris Stewart, Kevin Shattenkirk, and a conditional 2011 or 2012 second round pick from Colorado for Eric Johnson, Jay McClement, and a conditional first round pick in 2011 or 12. It's the kind of trade you'll probably look back in 2 or 3 years and it'll probably cost someone their job. That's what I think. When you deal a first overall pick in Johnson, you better be right. And Doug Armstrong is a rather new to the GM job, and I just think in St. Louis, and this could cost him the rest of the honeymoon there. He's got some experience in Dallas, but trading Johnson, man, that could blow up on him. Shattenkirk looks like a really good young puck mover, and Stewart is a big man with skill, and that does give St. Louis three big men now, and they're looking like Boston West now, but that first overall pick, he could turn into Rod Langway and do that for like 12 to 15 years, and St. Louis could be ruining the day that they dealt him. If injuries don't end a career here, I think Colorado wins that trade because Johnson could be an absolute killer for a decade or more rolling forward. It's about 20 minutes before 1 o'clock. We are Nation Radio. We welcome your calls at 426-TEAM, 426-8326, or you can email us at nationradio@theteam1260.com. We'll be back right after this.